This week on RSVNB Update, we gather again to recap the issues surrounding Hero Pass and outline what is still outstanding. Fortnite and World of Tanks also make an appearance showcasing their battle passes in comparison, and that makes us ask, does Hero Pass make sense for RuneScape? This is RSVNB Update, episode 953, recorded Thursday, September 21st, 2023, the Hero Pass Fortnite. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of RSVNB Update. This week, we have a bit of a retrospective on Hero Pass and the comparison with other battle passes. But before we get too far down that path, Tanis, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Shane.
Also joining us is resident RSVNB Update guest host Parnassius. Welcome.
Hello, hello, everyone.
And we also have Zant here. Folks might have, of course, seen the Legends Guild in Unreal Engine last year. You were behind that, and so many other wonderful little things like that. Welcome, Zach.
Hello.
Everybody always goes back to the Legends Guild, and it's just nice that we did that and did that for the Patreon supporters, and that even after release, the community appreciated that. So big thank you again for that.
He can't get through introducing me without thanking me for that again, can he?
Oh, I'm going to try. I'm going to try each and every episode. I'm going to do the thing. And, you know, speaking of doing things, I should actually thank the experienced here Patreon members, because those are the people for why RSVNB Update is here this week. And that's Andrew C., Drama Free, Jason S., Jesse W., Keski, Maniac RS, Ricky A., Rippeth, Seth W., and The Naked Captain. That, of course, is our experienced tier of Patreon members. They give the ultimate gift to us here at RSVNB Update, and they make this podcast go. But we'll talk more about Patreon in just a little bit. If you want to follow along, we do have full show notes available at update.show. You can find us in-game at Friends Chat, Bits Bytes, and our Discord is rsbnb.com/discord. All right. I feel like we've got a more well-aged perspective at this point on Hero Pass.
A more informed perspective now that it's been released.
In your case, is that how you feel? More informed now?
Yeah.
Okay.
More informed.
Right, because we had you on before release.
And I was excited about it back then, yes.
Yeah. And Zant, I know you haven't interacted much with it, but what's your first read on it?
It's just been good to sit on it a little bit after all the, you know, all the noise has died down, or some of it, I guess.
Yeah, and the question is, will the noise ever fully die down with Hero Pass? But I mean, the community posts are one thing, and you know they're kind of interesting the way they line them up. But we're still waiting to hear on that. But Tanis, where are you at now compared to where we started 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
Well, I think where we are in general is we're on the for all the poker players out there, we're on the river card, right? Like, obviously, we still, you know, Jagex held their cards close to their hand, and we didn't. There's a lot of information we didn't know,
and still don't
special mission, and still don't. Right? It's like everyone has their cards. And then there was the flop, which was the release. And now, you know, there's
and the U-turn
addressed. Exactly. But there's still one card to be played. And that's to see how this all ends up, you know, shaking out. I think we're in a better position to be able to see the original problems. Ironically, because it was such a strong outcry, but I personally feel like there was reaction, the actions that were taken may have been too quick.
Needed on Jagex's end or the community's end?
Yeah.
Or both?
Well, on both, right? We're just now to a place where we can actually, or I feel like we can talk about the issues that we tried to bring up when this came out. It was like, look, there are some issues, but we're not getting to them because everyone's just like mad.
Yeah, it was.
It needed more time to marinate, right, like you said.
Because it was right. Reprehensible that they even consider adding it, let alone the fact that, you know, it was a clear evolution of Yak Track. There were very good design elements behind it. I will personally still maintain that. I am still disappointed that the extra rewards have been taken away, and we don't know if or when those are going to work their way back into the system, which is unfortunate in my view. I wanted a few of those. I'm just going to go straight out there and say that I wanted the things that people found most controversial about this. And for people who know me in real life, you'll know that's exactly the way I roll. We try to, of course, you know, keep things straight here on the podcast. But for people who interact with me day to day, know that I'm quite the contrary. And I don't know if you guys would agree with that assessment.
I mean, I might have heard something like that, but but the thing is, right, like the actions taken were a reaction. We didn't get to talk about what the actual problem was and what the best way to address that specific problem would have been.
Yeah.
And just yanked everything out.
Right. And I mean, even I was going back through the design channel where Mod Jack was actually talking about this. And one of the things he said actually stuck out to me is that, you know, he says, if this week has taught me anything else, it's that perception matters more than reality. And, you know, we, of course, assume, and this is the assumption everybody should make, we should assume that people involved in the building of Hero Pass were acting in good faith, of course. But when you're in that bubble, in that design bubble, focusing on something purely like Hero Pass, you're looking at it from the design side. And of course, with that, you get through a design process and perception does not match out to reality at the end of the day. And with that, we're left with, of course, the existing questions that are out there that we want to kind of go through. And I guess the best place to start with that would be the most recent update that we had last Friday, the community update number 3. And with this, this was a very minor computer community update compared to the previous ones. And with this, daily challenges are going to be reinstated as part of these interim fixes, including bringing the actual daily challenge feature back with the existing mechanics and rewards. The current estimates on this are early October, not necessarily first week of October, early October. So let's just say first half of the month on that. And this week, of course, 3 treasure hunter keys and 3 large prismatic lamps added to the daily mission rewards while that is being worked on.
And if I can just
where we're at with that.
Interrupt there.
Yeah.
Where they've added the 3 treasure hunter and lamps that they've added are actually only on the first half.
Yeah, the first one.
Doing about 30 seconds. So there's no real reward for the second and third,
which take longer.
I thought they would have done one in each one of them, but they just slapped it all on the first one. So again, as you said, very reactive, very they didn't sit back and think. It's like they've panicked. It's very, we've done this, so we'll just give everyone this.
Right.
I don't think the...
We're left with a Frankenstein of a system, if we're being honest.
Yes.
Yeah.
But where you say you're a bit of a contrarian and, you know, you were looking forward, I think a lot of people were looking forward to the rewards. The issue was that they locked them behind the Premier Club, which... I've had Premier Club since day one, so no issue for me, but I understand. I don't understand why they just took them out completely and just didn't just say, okay, sorry, we made a mistake. We're going to drop this so you don't have to be Premier. As long as you remember, you get those rewards. And I think that would have made everyone a lot happier. And given the Hero Pass an actual reason for being there, because I was excited about it when it came out. You know, I like chasing achievements. I like, you know, that's why I love Slayer, having a goal set and going for it. And that's what I liked about the Hero Pass. I thought, oh, well, there's different things. I'm probably never going to use most of it, but hey, I love unlocking things. And those rewards, I mean, the one I wanted the most, I do a lot of clues. And just having that, you know, skip a clue section, fantastic.
That's the one I wanted too.
Great little buff, a because, great little reward thing.
Because that combined with the totem on Anachronia would let you slam through some hard clue scrolls really fast. And exactly. I need to get that Globetrotter trim comp done at some point, or trim wreck done at some point.
But not only that, even, you know, the XP, I mean, it's only 10% XP rewards on different things, and you spend your points on it to unlock the thing. So that was a great system. But again, because people complained about it being locked behind Premier Club, and it's like, and that is, I agree with people sort of saying pay to win. I've now got to spend, you know, $100 to buy a yearly membership when I may only want to play sort of 2 or 3 months a year, and I want to do just these 3 months of the Hero Pass. Why should I have to buy a one-year membership? They should have just dropped it to, as long as you're a paid member, you know, monthly member, or yeah, you buy your 14 days on your bonds, whatever you, however you do it, those rewards were open to you. And by removing those, I think they just totally killed anything that, you know, this Hero Pass, I think, is going to be dead and buried before they gave it a real chance, because they were totally knee-jerk reaction and just removed everything instead of sitting back and saying, well, hang on a sec, people are complaining because it's on Premier, let's just drop it down and actually sit back and think about it. That's an automatic reaction without actually thinking about what would be best for the general player.
Yeah, I kind of want to know what the internal numbers show. Of course, we'll never know that. Like, were they hemorrhaging subscribers at that point that spurred that, or was it just the intensity of the social media reaction that spurred that?
Well, I think it was the intensity of the reaction. If you think about it, this is one of those things that was a problem that we didn't get to talk about, right? Like, and why is RuneScape a little bit different? Well, you'll see as we go on in the podcast.
Yeah, we got comparisons to Fortnite and World of Tanks.
We got exactly, and RuneScape is different in the respect that it's a premium subscription model. None of the others have that. So it does feel like continually dipping back into the well.
Right, because you put this picture together, you have the base RuneScape game as free to play, which, let's be honest, at this point is really a demo. There should be more in free to play. Mm-hmm. I know that's something they wanted to do in the past, and it kind of stopped. Making Fletching free to play was a good move. But you then add on, you know, the subscription fee, which is, I think, $14 a month now US if you don't buy Premier Club buy Premier Club at the end of the year, which, I mean, if you're playing for any real length of time, it's a good deal. And, you know, I always tell people that the only reason you shouldn't buy Premier Club is if you're grandfathered in on the $5 a month plan and you don't want to, you know, play the Battle Pass events. Otherwise, if you're going to be around for a long time, yeah, it's a really good deal. So there's that. And then on top of that, you, of course, have Treasure Hunter, which has a promotion we'll talk about this week. That's actually different and moving in a positive direction. And then on top of that, of course, you have the Hero Pass. And what wasn't immediately clear, I think, to me, when we had this discussion, not only on the Design Week, but the week following it, was that it was in the eyes of many people, it wasn't just Hero Pass, it was everything leading up to it. The subsequent Treasure Hunter promos, the subsequent push to, you know, monetize Yak Track even more, the subsequent push to add things like the Soul Die, so on and so forth. It's just that Hero Pass was the thing that set everything on fire.
Yeah. It seemed like they were trying to force people into a yearly subscription rather than just a monthly. And with the rumors going around that it's sort of up for sale again, it sort of seemed
it is.
Like,
that's well, confirmed.
Hey, yeah. Let's boost our membership numbers to try and get more. That's how
right.
it sort of felt.
Exactly.
Let's get more people into Premier Club so we can sort of say, hey, look at our membership, our yearly membership base and things like that. It did feel a little slimy that way.
Well, I mean, it felt like that because I mean, maybe not so much slimy, but it felt like that because it was that. Mm-hmm. Right? They do want to do that. I mean, and we've seen, we saw when the sale to Carlisle, right? The last sale.
And we knew what the end of this was going to look like. It was going to be either, you know, Jagex gets sold again to a different investment firm or they get taken public.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Carlisle does. You know, Carlisle, and this is a bit off track here, but it all comes back to the monetization efforts and the efforts to grow RS3 and the RSIP. The investment and purchase by Carlisle was probably Jagex's best opportunity to find new cash and do things that are risky. But in this entire time period that they've been owned by Carlisle, they really haven't capitalized on that. And, you know, given the time period, 2-3 years and a bit, that's particularly why Carlisle is probably looking at selling. And it all comes back to a question of, is the culture, the corporate culture, I want to underscore that for everybody, too risk averse to the point where we see that, like we were saying with HeroPass, is that, you know, there's a series of problems and things that are waiting for resolution that they just stop, panic, and reverse right away. Was there another way to deal with this? Does anybody have a thought on that?
As I said, I really think all they needed to do was the actual buffs, drop those to just everyone. Keep cosmetics on the Premier side so that the Premier members do get a little bit of extra, but it's purely cosmetic. Keep those buffs for everyone. It should never, ever have been locked behind the Premier model.
What about daily challenges? What about those?
I don't mind those. You know, that all these type of battle pass type things have a daily challenge, a weekly challenge you have to do. I think my main issue playing through is basically, you know, you get your 3 daily challenges, that's fine. You get your weekly challenge. I would have preferred maybe, you know, 1 or 2, or, you know, sort of having 2 or 3 daily challenge, weekly challenges rather than just the 1. The general missions and the special missions, I think they've really messed up there. You know, I haven't seen a special mission since the first one. General missions, we've had, I think we've had 2 general missions. It's just very lackluster. There's just not a lot to do other than earning your sort of 4 points every, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, whatever it is. There's no engagement. Where with Yak Track, I could do work through that as quick as or as slow as I wanted to. I could knock it over in a week. I could take the full 90 days if I or whatever it was. 6
yeah,
weeks
and that goes to what they were trying to do with this. The sense, and this is just, you know, pulling a bit from the design channel and the official Discord with Mod Jack, is that people, you know, didn't want, you know, tons of parcels. They wanted something better. But he feels something about the presentation with this has failed to land. And what is actually really interesting about this, 2 things that I picked up on that we kind of honed in on but weren't wondering about. He said that a lot of the feedback that they have is fact that the community has put forward is factually wrong, but it doesn't matter because the sentiment is clear. And that's what Jagex is responding to. And the second thing the second thing is that we were right about the XP. He doesn't want a system like this to be able to give out that much XP, but it's clear that the players want it, and that's the kind of game the players want. So with that, they're going to go in that direction.
But see, that is the other problem, though, that we didn't necessarily get to fully flush out. We talked about this in Surrey on the phone. Yes, there was problems with the daily challenge system. It needed to be, you know, it needed to be fixed.
It was that XP devaluation.
Well, there were other solutions. Like, it probably, maybe it didn't belong in this, you know, but instead of, like, taking a scalpel, took a hatchet and just took it all out.
Right.
But that was something that maybe, you know, I mean, there's another example. we didn't get to really talk about that all that much. It was just put them back. It was like, well, okay, there was issues with them.
And to be fair, based on this discussion,
to put it there,
right? And you know, I think Jagex gets that. Just, you know, I basically read through that design channel from HeroPass launch day to recent, and there's been a lot of discussion about that in there. Avernick actually sent me the link that was happening after we were talking after last week's episode, but it underscores that key point of the things that are missing and the things we're still waiting to hear from on this in terms of outstanding issues. And I also want to, you know, talk about the cosmetics, because I was mentioning in pre-show that the last Yak Track that really spoke to me in terms of any of the cosmetics was the last winter one. And I feel like there's a lot of people who are in that same situation, that Yak Track just wasn't engaging enough. And Zant, I mean, we also briefly discussed this as well. And I think this is a hard discussion that we need to have. And based on what you see and how you feel, and, you know, given the fact you play Fortnite, how do you feel Jagex does Battle Pass-wise, either in the Yak Track era or now, with regards to cosmetics for the Avatar?
I don't even know where to begin. So I just, obviously, we're held back by the character model. I don't think anybody's arguing that. But higher level than that, one thing, I just feel like they're missing the mark with almost both these battle pass systems. Yak Track, I feel like you have to be too engaged with it. And this new one, I feel like they're also trying to push you to be engaged with it, but why do you want to be engaged with the battle pass? In my eyes, that's something you just get rewards while you play the game. I don't want to have to put extra exerted targeted effort into this battle pass. I should just be able to play the game and do it. So that's confusing to me, why they even considered putting the daily challenges as part of that. They were already a problem as they were, and I feel that axing them out messily into this system kind of gives the system this unneeded bloated complexity that
It's trying to be a daily system in addition to a battle pass.
And when players look at that, it's just like, ew, I don't want to deal with that. Like, that's the first thing I thought about it when I opened it up, and it's got two paragraphs worth of tutorial text in my face.
That's what I totally agree. That was, remember, Shane? I said the complexity of this is, that was my big thing, right? Like, that, if I had a gripe, that was it. Like, yeah.
But to be
fair, it needs to be simple.
Yeah, but to be fair, the daily challenge only give you the extra points. Or, well, initially only gave you extra points. You could still play through whatever you wanted to do and earn all the points you needed. However, those daily challenges gave you those extra 125 points just to speed your progress along a little bit to get to the next level.
I just don't think the two should be coupled like that. I think that you should balance it around not having those daily challenges as part of the pass and just have your progress towards actually executing those daily challenges just be further progress as it would usually be, just baseline. If you want to spend the time on that, you spend the time on it. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah, but you still, those the daily challenges weren't like you have to go and do fishing or you have to go and do wood cutting. You still earned those points towards those daily challenges regardless.
Yeah, but the point that's being made here is that the ask of, you know, go do something daily, even if, you know, you're going to tailor it specifically to a skill, that doesn't fit into a battle pass, because as we'll see in the World of Tanks battle pass, the Fortnite battle pass, it doesn't do that. It's simple things like get X number of kills, do this amount of damage, hit this many targets, so on and so forth in the World of Tanks one that progresses your battle pass with daily missions. It's not something that is an inherent system in itself that's wired into it. And, you know, and it becomes a discussion about dailies on chapter one. But I want to get back to the character model point on that in terms of, you know, if you, and we're not in the room. We're not in the room. If you asked one of Jagex's character artists, give me the most extravagant character avatar outfit you can. I wonder what that would look like and if it
would
sell.
People don't want extravagant. I feel like they really don't know what kind of cosmetics people want, or even if people want these cosmetics, because look at how many people just run around RS in default normal clothes, and look how many people have their default outfit that they've made and they're not going to change it.
Right.
Unless some crazy one comes along that does that. Like, what about any of these individual cosmetics on this pass?
Right.
And are going to make people change that.
You know? Remember how well received the legacy cosmetic override remasters were.
Yeah.
Because people want to look like the game that they know. They want their rune armor.
And that's a whole other issue. Like, I honestly still think you should just update the default models of those in game and not sell them. Because then you get this weird thing where it's just literally different quality if you bought it.
Yeah.
I just, like, you're literally paying to have higher quality models.
It's almost like the higher quality visual assets were, you know, earmarked to be used with the character rework, and they're just putting them in now.
That's where all this feels really slimy to me. Like, that's where I just get really grossed out by the whole MTX system that RS has. It just
explain
that. They know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing.
Okay, and like with the pictures, like the armor and such, right?
Yes, they know they will make a shit ton of money by selling updated retro cosmetics. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Did we just land in Lumbridge and Jagex offer to trim our armor?
Basically.
I feel like that's what we're saying.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I think another thing with the cosmetics, too. I mean, I guess this is less of an issue with the outfits, because when you unlock an outfit, you get all the pieces, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But with weapons, when you unlock like a weapon skin, you got to go through the whole class set of weapons just to unlock all of it. Like, unlocking a single throwable? In other games, you just unlock a skin. You can apply it to everything. Boom. Done. It's a nice consolidated reward. And it really reads like they're trying to stretch a limited amount of rewards farther along this pass.
Right, because let's say you want the bow, but that's on, you know, level 92, but you only get to, you know, level 68.
And what weapon you use shouldn't... There's no weapon that's literally more valuable. It's just choice.
And you know
it's
what
just,
the...
And it's just, I prefer using a bow over crossbow. Like,
right. And you know
it's what just funny they...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's just funny that they feel they have to have a reward at every level instead of every 10 levels. Like, do 10 levels... Unlock, as Zant was saying, you know, a green override for all your weapons, or go to 20 and you can do a purple override for, you know, however they do it. But yeah, rather than doing, okay, at level one you get this, at level two you get this, at level three you get this, just do 10 levels, you know, I think that would sort of fit more. Rather than just sort of trying I understand they want to have that. Oh, I've unlocked something at every level, but it's 1,000 points.
Point out, did you guys see what's missing from the Hero Pass in terms of the rewards at this point in time?
Lamps?
No.
Good. I was hoping you weren't going to go that way. Yep.
There's no cosmetic overrides for the Death Guard and Lantern. When Necromancy just came out.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Says that's not going to change, though.
But that's the thing. Everybody's using Necromancy. That's the flavor of the month. And, you know, maybe the flavor of the year with where we're at. Shouldn't there have been some sort of option to maybe, you know, trim out your Death Guard and Lantern in this pass focused around Necromancy?
Oh, so we're literally calling it trimming now.
Hey, lean into it. Why not?
Right. And let's just, you know, put ourselves in an alternate world here. Imagine we did get the character remodel. Do you think, Zant, that we would be having a different discussion about Hero Pass if they were able to get that model out? Model rework out and, you know, level up the kind of cosmetics that we have.
Yes. And I think if they consolidated the things like the weapons a bit more and added more rewards to compensate, because I'm going to be real with you, like they keep saying, We're putting a ton of effort in these rewards. I don't think it's there yet. I don't think it's to the point where it's even close to something like Fortnite's rewards, where each skin you unlock is this crazy realized character with a personality and all these other things that go with it. It's just another outfit on top of the thousands of outfits we already have. And they need to figure out how to set that stuff apart. And I think with a new avatar rework, that opportunity can come about because, well, the armor won't look like mud. They can actually have high fidelity to them and do things like, you know, like the Aurora effect we had before, stuff like that.
I was going to go there next, to the moon. But, you know, I wonder how the Clue community would react if, you know, some form of a die went on a battle pass.
Oh, good heavens, Shane.
I don't
know. Yeah, I think. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead. Is that?
This is another point I was going to make a little earlier, but the die thing kind of just feeds into it. It feels like literally every design part of the system, they know exactly what they're doing. And it almost feels malicious the way that they're kind of like pulling us along to kind of want these things. It doesn't feel like they're actually trying to make the players want them. It's trying to make the players think they want them.
Right. Like having the staff at one level and the throne at a different one. Is that what you mean?
It's like, yeah. So it's like they're giving you the illusion that you want to go for this. And it's just at every single level of it, with the dies included, it's just literally the fact that they know people will go for it. And the fact that that exists at every level of this pass is just, that's what really gives me that kind of gross, slimy outlook on this. It just, I think that's how a lot of other players feel. They feel like,
you know, that's Jagex a good point. Trying to milk us that way before.
Mm-hmm. Like Pre-Trozant had a great idea about, you know, more animations rather than just these cosmetic.
Let's go there next about that, because you know, animations have sold really well on Treasure Hunter. We know that, and when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, maybe that's a way to go in the future.
And that's something I think they could realize with current engine. There's so much untapped potential there. How many variants do we have of different ability overrides right now? It's not such that each character can get super personalized with it like they would in a system that's fleshed out to the point where people would want to actually like buy this stuff. It's like you got two variants of a couple abilities, and I really don't see what's really holding them back from doing more of those. Like, seriously, take Death Swiftness and Hue Shift it and give me a purple one. I will buy it. I'm sure you could do that for any other color and people would buy it. I just don't think they see that people really want that, or that they do and they're putting it on Treasure Hunter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because maybe, and you know, I think that goes to the design that we've witnessed before with the Actrack and now Hero Pass, is that it's been quite clear that both of these things were, you know, not necessarily designed to be agents of monetization, I don't think. I know Yaktrak definitely wasn't, and, you know, maybe this was from the buff side of it, but it just feels like they weren't designed to be monetized, right? And maybe that's why it is the way it is on that. In terms of animations, though, the Corrupted Asphyxiate is available in the store, interestingly enough, for 800 MMO.
Interesting.
Well, this is it, though. I mean, I have no issue with them releasing these things on Treasure Hunter first. Then, in, you know, like they did with the Elite Skilling outfits, have them on Treasure Hunter. 6 months later, release them, say, through a battle pass or you know, through Oddment Store or something like that. And then, you know, 6 months after that, throw them into Solomon's. I have no issue with that. So the people who want to spend that money on Treasure Hunter and be those early adopters and grab it and, you know, hey, look what I've got. They've got 6 months of exclusivity of it. Then it goes into, hey, I can earn it through in-game and get it done. And then for people who, you know, come along in or, you know, start a new character and say, hey, I really like that outfit, I can just go to Treasure Hunter, as go to Solomon's store and buy it.
You know, come to think of it, I feel like the existence of Treasure Hunter is also like a big factor that's kind of being the demise of Hero Pass, It's almost like, it feels like the inverse of how Call of Duty, when they first started doing monetization, they moved immediately to loot boxes. And then when Black Ops 4 came around, they did their first battle pass. And people, for the most part, kind of liked it at first. And then halfway through the game's life cycle, they brought back the loot boxes alongside the battle pass. And then shit got bad. And we kind of already had the loot boxes, and then the battle pass are being added on top.
And right. I understand. And that's that layered discussion we had again with RS. Yes.
Is and the that complexity a, about how
it's
those
subscription
two relate to each other.
Plus Treasure Hunter, plus Hero Pass.
And just those systems existing too, the incredibly complex systems, it bloats the whole thing like exponentially.
And don't forget, on top of those, you've got plus Solemn Store, plus the Oddment Store, you know, there's
loyalty coins.
Loyalty and that's the coins, thing, exactly, yeah.
That's the thing I think like Fortnite does really well. It's just one currency. It's just V-Bucks, and that handles everything. Like, why do you need to buy the pass with bonds?
Well, we were supposed to get a currency overhaul at the end of 2020.
Oh, that went by the wayside with that. Oh, never mind. That was in pre-show. Okay.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about there, but okie dokie then. But you see what the issue is here is that Hero Pass on its own, in a vacuum, is designed quite well, I must say. But when you combine it with Treasure Hunter, with the subscription fee, with the way cosmetics work in the game, and then you also look at how this is being stretched out across the entire pass, when you know you look at some of the weapon packs that you get on here, you could just unlock them at once, but you got to unlock them across the entire pack. It means, I wonder if there's just not enough to put into the Hero Pass that it has to be extended out like that. So,
but that's the thing, they feel they have to have a reward at every level. Every 10 levels would be fine for the majority of people.
That's not how battle passes work.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, okay. No, there needs to be a solid reward. I'd say on most levels. Okay, well, not most levels, but with RS, you know, some lamps, some XP and stuff, most levels, and then every couple levels, a cosmetic. At least with ones like Fortnite, where it's, you know, all cosmetics. Like, I'm just looking through right now.
But how many levels does Fortnite have in their battle? Because this has got like 120 levels, basically.
It's 100.
Okay, fair enough.
It's 100. And I'm just looking at this page right here. The first reward is a background for your home screen. The next reward is a banner icon of... followed by V-Bucks, a skin for your tool, then an emote, an animation skin, followed by another emote, followed by V-Bucks, and then the 10th one is a big character skin.
And that's what I mean, have the major ones at every 10 levels. But, you know, as you said, V-Bucks, why not throw in some oddments or, you know...
Or rune coins.
Rune coins. I was about to say the same. Earn 5 rune coins, you know, just little things like that. I mean, there's so much they can do. And we understand, I mean, the majority of the fan base understands Jagex isn't a charity. They are a business that needs to make money. But it's the way they go about doing it. That sort of people are starting to find a bit egregious with, yeah, as you said, with all these different monetization forms in there. Three or four different forms of monetization does seem a bit of a money grab.
Right, and let's just ask ourselves, is there any other game that has 4 premium currencies in it?
I'm sure there are.
But this also goes back to Mod Jack's comment about perception, right? So even though Jagex might be looking at it as we're just putting as many options out there, you know, but the perception is you're cash grab, right? Like
we've also got to look at also is a lot of these other games have sort of a once or twice a year update. We do get pretty much... Yeah, one major monthly update supported by a couple of smaller weekly ones. you know, not a lot of games out there do that type of thing. And we understand, you know, that's going to cost money and such, but it's just, they just need to come up with a way that doesn't look like it is just purely a money grab. And, you know, yeah, maybe it is time to revisit reworking the character models. I know it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of work, but maybe it's time to put a team onto doing that. You know, maybe just look at, okay, this is the character model we're going to stay with.
From what I understand, to do the character model, they would either have to completely throw out every visual style that we have in game right now, or individually update each piece.
Which is going to be a lot of work. And that's what I said. Otherwise, lean into what we've got, and just as Zant suggested, you know, more animations, more, you know, do more group overrides rather than just individual overrides. Your suggestion. I mean, we are in the season of necromancy. Why aren't there necromancy overrides? You know, this is that they should be leaning into that more, and. You know, yes, listen to the feedback, but no knee-jerk reactions.
Yeah, it did feel kind of scattershot and quick, didn't
it? Just say, hey, listen, we understand your concerns. We're leaving it as it is for the moment, but we are looking at it, and sit down and have a proper discussion and work out what should we do. Okay, people are upset that this is locked behind the paywall of Premier. Let's just open it to all pay-to-play players. Let's increase free-to-play from level 5 to level 20, like they were talking about a few years ago, and try and bring that more into place for people. Or make it level, you can get to level 60 free-to-play, and then you can buy your memberships. I mean, I don't know, but, you know, just things like that is what they need
to
be.
It's a question of adding value to the game.
Exactly right.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so many outstanding issues with this that need to be dealt with, and I don't even know if anybody's keeping track of them, and I wanted to do a bit of that. We're going to do that right now, but actually, first, Patreon supporters, because you guys are the ones who fund our RSBNB update, and, you know, unlike many things in the real world, the things are getting expensive in the real world due to factors like inflation and such. I'm proud to say that we keep our fees for Patreon exactly as they were. And I'd like to thank this week Alfie S, Alvaro L, Amos Reed, Andrew C, Arvids L, Jewel Burra, Chunk the Monk, Dominic R, Drama Free, Duramax, Free Milk, Jacob G, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jeebus, Jesse W, Keski, Ling 01, Maniac RS, Mohan V, Mr. Crafty, Nate the Great, Pernasius, Renhawk, Ricky A, Rippeth, Runestar, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Seth W, Shirtpants, Tabby, The Naked Captain, The Dabbing Goat, Tim, Tom V, Ukulele Steve, and Zant. Of course, as I mentioned, Patreon prices for RSBNB update have remained the same since the beginning, and what you get for as little as $1 a month is you get access to an entire back catalog of monthly bits, 62 of them right now, looking at one specific thing one way or another when it comes to individual show topics. We do one of those each and every month. You also get the ability to vote on our monthly bit topics, and of course to attend our roundtables as well. You get all of that, plus a mention in the show notes for $1 a month. For $3 a month, you'll receive a special VIP rank on Discord, as well as a special chat channel, and you'll also get a shout-out on the podcast at the start of the month. And, of course, with that, you also get high-quality stereo versions of the show as well. And we also have something called the Insider Tier for $5 a month, where you'll receive each and every week a special shout-out on the podcast and access to the clips that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year, plus a Christmas card. And we also do have the Experience Tier, but that's presently sold out, which are the people we mentioned at the start of the podcast. But nonetheless, if you want to help support RSBNB Update, head on over to patreon.com/RSBNB. The last monthly bit we published last week, and the topic on that was the forgotten content of RuneScape, questions of whether or not specific pieces of content were Forgotten, we talked about Shattered Worlds, the Tears of Guthix, the Fremenix Sagas, the Camelot Quest series, and, of course, minigames. So if you're wondering, well, are those pieces of Forgotten content? Or maybe not. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you agree. You can be part of that discussion by being a Patreon member for as little as $1 a month. And we thank everybody who has made the choice to do that. So thank you so much, everyone.
Thanks.
So outstanding issues with Hero Pass. Outstanding issues. Special missions. We were told there were going to be more special missions outside of the ones we had. We don't know when those are going to drop. They say they can be tied to content, or they might just decide to drop them. And we don't know how much of the pass that's going to account for. Some estimates say it could be as high as 25% of the way to 99 could be covered by special missions. But we don't know where they're going to be or when they're coming.
And that's the other legit problem, right? Like, that's the other legit problem. Once again, we could be talking about. And I think this is because when you're tying it to content that's going to be coming out and updates that are to come, you can't tip your hand, right? Like, you don't want it to be announced too early. So therefore, you can't tell people exactly how the Hero Pass numbers are going to work. And then they do their own math. They do their own research. And then things become factually incorrect.
Yeah, because that's the information we had that says it's going to, take more hours than was initially planned. Whereas, right. on the internal spreadsheet, it looks a lot different. And that's why, on the Hero Pass episode and on this episode, we're not bothering talking about numbers because we still don't know at this point.
Exactly. But the reason we don't know is they don't want us to know what the updates are coming up that are going to be.
Or what we're going to have to do with them, right?
Yeah. So...
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
But we should be having that. We should have had that discussion, right? Like,
that was buried in the Discord design channel. Man, I think one of Mod Doom's Reddit posts.
Yeah.
So. There's also Parnassus's problem. What happens outside of the dailies and the weekly missions? Because you've done each and every weekly. General and the special weekly, and after that you're left to what, gain four points a minute,
something like that. Basically, I mean the weekly mission is knocked over on Thursday or Friday when it's released on Wednesday. Daily missions, obviously, you're doing the first 20 or 30 minutes. Weekly missions, I understand,
what they needed to do with this, because you get to a point with these where you're in effect, making it so that the content slows down after you do the content that's put in front of you, and RS players see that as time gating, that's the way it goes. What they needed to do is, this thing was up for 13 weeks, right? So as soon as you do a weekly general or a weekly special, roll on over to the next one and give you a maximum of 13. That's how you solve that problem.
Yeah. I mean, general missions, they call it general mission. It's just an extra weekly mission because it comes out once a week. Special missions, we had one and that's it. It was like one and done. I understand they're saying, they're going to bring out more, but it's just that lack of knowing and saying, okay, give me some special missions that, give me 100 points for it. But, the first one, which I think was 20 Slayer tasks from...
The Raptor.
Again, I knocked that over in 2 days. It's not something that's hard to do. You're going to give me 75 days. Have ones for sort of the more hardcore players.
Right, so basically progression outside of the 4 points a minute, basically.
Yeah, just something. I mean, give me some challenges. Go and kill it. The special missions you get from the Slayer Masters. Something like that. Go and kill every boss. Go and kill yeah, maybe not every boss because we're not all bosses, PVMers, but yeah, something that gives us an extra challenge for those people who want to engage in the content, enjoy this type of thing. And I understand there's a lot of people who don't, but there are a lot of us who do enjoy that achievement type thing and, you know, give us something to do there. It's just... You hamstring me. As I said, with Yak Track, I could just go through, do every A task and have it done in a week. I've got everything unlocked and then I'm earning extra points. And that was one gripe we had about that. You earned all those extra coins. You could spend it on lamps and that's it. You know,
there was no variety there.
Yeah, well, the rate didn't bother me. It's just I don't want to buy lamps. Yeah, I'm 120 all already. I'm working my way towards 200 mil all, but I don't want to do it via lamps. I want to engage in the content. Give me something else. Let me trade it for oddments. Let me get some extra treasure hunter keys, whatever. You know, give me color variations on the cosmetics you've released. Yeah, just something other than just like, I mean, Starzy, I don't mind
something
stars.
For the hardcore players, basically, yeah. after the weekly challenges then.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, I see that also as an issue because the progress is relatively quick if you do your specials, if you do your weeklies. The progress is relatively quick, and then after that it goes down. So yep. I see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, the three dailies are done in half an hour.
Yeah, yeah, and you can, you know, with that, you put a bit of time towards the weekly general as well on that.
Oh, exactly, yeah, that's right, because those points also come off the 2,500 a week.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it's not, you know, it's not hard. As I said, weekly, I've just, what am I, 16 points away from finishing the weekly.
And see, this leads into the next one, is that when you look at exactly how the dailies work into this, they say they're going to reinstate daily challenges with this. Okay, So are you removing then dailies from Hero Pass as they've been, or the dailies that you do in the system, in the daily challenge system that everybody always used to extend and, you know, forced to their favorite skills, are those each going to, you know, instead award 125 hero points? How is this going to work is the question.
I'd rather just see the normal dailies go back to the way they were. I can put it onto the skill I want, go and do that skill, get my points for that, get my three treasure hunters for that, and have the dailies in the hero pass just award the hero points. I don't need lamps and such for that. Because I am one who's working on that hero pass. For people who don't want to, they're just going to, you know, they're going to get it off to the side. Those points are just going to come through. They're going to get those points as they play however they want. You know, we don't need, I mean, you're earning lamps for just playing the game in any style you want anyway. You're not being forced
right.
into something.
And that's on another daily, huge. Go ahead, sorry.
No, so on the daily, you've got a skill. Okay, I'm working on mining for this month, so I'm going to put all my three challenges on mining. I'm going to do those. I'm going to get my three keys, and my rewards are that way. So I'm actually working on a particular skill that is being set by that. Where the hero pass is whether I kill, whether I do clues, whether I just sit back and skill, whatever I do, as long as I'm getting something, doing something in game, those 4 points are just coming through passively anyway.
Yeah, and then maybe the issue is, and Zant, you can tell me how Fortnite does this for, you know, quote-unquote dailies, and we're going to do a deeper dive into Fortnite and World of Tanks in just a bit here. But on the World of Tanks side, you're given three daily missions that are simple enough, you know, earn X amount of damage, come in the top, you know, 5, 7, or 10 on your team, deal X amount of critical hits, and another one, you know, might be, you know, damage 25 different vehicles. And with that, that forms the basis of what a daily mission in World of Tanks is. And this goes back to what you said, Zan. You just do those by playing the game. Whereas with this, you're doing something specific. How does Fortnite do it?
So Fortnite actually does have a similar system to that. But the reason I think that doesn't work on RS is because the MTX systems we have are already just so bloated that having that integrated into the pass just adds unnecessary complexity to it. Where with Fortnite, it's Battle Pass and these quests, it's like the whole system. And they work very symbiotically with each other. So the way they have it set up is there are daily tasks. You can do 3 of them per day. But the way you do this is you basically have daily bonus goals. There's 3 of them. One says complete 1 daily task. One says complete 2 daily tasks. One says complete 3 daily tasks. And then you have a pool of just these tasks that'll show up down below. And you can kind of just choose what you want to do. And then there are weekly ones, which are a bit more targeted, more go visit this location, go talk to this NPC, go do this thing, whatsoever. And they get kind of more intimate with the actual content in the map. And I know that's something that RS does with its, you know, actual quests. And then, you know, there's some tie-ins with ranked and other like special one-off things that do it. But I really think the reason that works for Fortnite is because it's basically the whole system outside the Battle Pass. And it's kind of limited, you know, kind of a similar with RS, how much you can progress with those quests. You can't just hone in on the quests. You still just got to play the game. But when you're going for the quests, completing the quests, just playing the game also gets you that progress as well. So, yeah, it's still just very baseline. Play the game.
Yeah.
Do these quests if you want some
right. action. Right. And that's in effect the difference in terms of what we're looking at here is, you know, where does daily challenges land in this? And I don't know if it was an issue of it not feeling natural. And this is something I'm still not clear on. Is it a question of the daily challenges in Hero Pass not feeling natural? Or is it a question of, you know, losing those 6 medium lamps each day if you're, you know, already maxed?
I think just losing that is a big deal for a lot of players. And also one other thing I forgot to mention about the ones in Fortnite, there are specific ones that unlock unique characters, and that's the only way you can unlock that character. You can't unlock it through the pass, but usually that character's quest has several steps to it, and actually progressing towards going for that specific character on a quest line that's tangential to the pass gets you progress on the pass.
And, you know, I realize, and I know a lot of our listeners are, you know, primary RS players, and that's your main game, and that's fine. That's good. But I think the thing that we're learning here is that the core loops of RuneScape might not necessarily be fit for Battle Pass, dare I say it. Has anybody thought
about
that?
Well, yeah. Well, we did 2 weeks ago, remember?
Did we?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Tannis wasn't a fan of it 2 weeks ago, but yeah, I mean, again, I mean, I don't think that it's not suited to it. I think it's just the way they implement it. And again, it's like...
Same. Big same.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much that you could do and make it palatable to the players, but it just... I don't know. It just seems that they really don't have an idea of what their player base is like. The RuneScape player is different to every other game out there. They're very passionate. This is our game that we allow you to make for us, is the feeling that the RuneScape player has, rather than, you know, with the other games, you're making it, you know, you're making it for the whole world. No, you're making this for me. I'm allowing you to make this for me. That's the feeling. I mean, the players feel that they just have that passion for the game where they're so connected with it. And, you know, it's a 20-year-old game. Players are going to feel that way, and they're going to be upset when you do things that do seem just like money grabs. You can make a hero pass that is palatable and engaging without seeming like just a money grab, and they've just got to get someone in there with a proper marketing skills and an understanding of the player base itself.
That's another good point. This was a battle pass that was marketed at a different game audience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They've got to bring someone in who understands the player base and can talk it up and sell it the way it needs to be done. and not lock things behind. I mean, as I said, I'm Premier Club from day one. The way they've done Premier Club over the past couple of years, they've changed it so much to what it initially was. I think maybe they need to get back to the roots of that. Put Premier Club back the way it was in 2013, 14, 15. But things like the Hero Pass should just be for the regular player, and have a small free-to-play player thing for it as well, where they can earn a few of the little rewards. But you know,
what you're describing, I was going to say that what you're describing is very similar to Yak Track, which is, I think, is close to a battle pass as RuneScape can get, because RuneScape is different.
That's right.
This is something, you know, that we talked about. Like, I don't think it is the best fit for this game. And the closest we had was Yak Track. Not late stage Yak Track either. Yeah. Like early.
I enjoyed it with the extra tasks and such, but I mean, the majority of players are going to hate this, having those extra 20 levels and things like that. I mean, I like the way this progresses, where it's 1,000 points a level. Rather than where Yak Track was more and more and more, and by the time you got to those late stages, it was like, you know, 5 hours, 6 hours a task.
Yeah. Burned 3,000 Elder Logs.
Yeah,
which is why it was better in the beginning, right? And the other thing that it did in the beginning, which I thought they lost along the way, was they used to put the Yak Track cosmetics on oddments once they were kind of retired. They would come on the Ottoman store, and that stopped with all these new innovations of it.
That's right.
But we talked about it.
They can go back. I mean, this Hero Pass is great, but you know, have your points, have in the different levels, earn some oddments and all that, where you can go back and do that. I mean, they need to do more of a combination between Yak Track and Hero Pass, where I can progress it as fast as I like. Have your level A, which is the skill that we're going to push you towards, where you're going to earn double points. Passive play, you're still going to earn points. Play the game your way. You're still going to have time to unlock everything. And, you know, and also for people who are the 120 or the 200 already in that skill, there should be an alternative. Have the old, remember when they had do fletching or wood cutting? Fletching was a really quick one. The wood cutting was a longer one, but it didn't cost you.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Go back to that type of thing.
I was going to say that. Add the primary task, the secondary task, and then skill and kill, and that's how you do that.
Yeah.
And I also think we're in a situation here, like we were in with Yelps, where at this point there's no saving this.
No. I mean, people still complain about Yelps.
We killed him.
That's right. But yeah. I mean, you can rather than having them sort of get as you go up in levels, have this battle pass where every time I cut an Elder Log, I'm going to get 4 points towards the battle pass, and I need 1,000 points. Yeah, have it go from I'm doing willow trees earlier up to whatever my highest player at level 60 woodcutting obviously can't cut elders, so their task later on will be cutting magic logs or cutting whatever the level 60 log is I think it is. Yeah, but have some sort of progression that way, and do it, but do it with your hero points. I don't mind that type of system, but. So it is sort of, it's going to take me the same amount of time for each level, the way it is.
Is there
here.
Any saving this? Is there any saving Hero Pass?
There could have been, but I don't honestly. I don't think after their knee-jerk reaction, I don't think there is now. There could have been if they had have sat back and thought, well, hang on a sec, let's just look at this. I think because of their knee-jerk reaction, the player base has thought, we won. We're not going to get it. We don't want it. And I think they've just killed it by their knee-jerk reaction.
Zant?
I think they'd be better off going back to Yak Track. It seems like Hero Pass has become synonymous with, what was it, Rune Pass? Like, it's like people are viewing it as like the same exact thing.
That's
now.
Right. I almost forgot about Rune Pass. People That did have a similar reaction.
Honestly, like, Yak Track was kind of cute and with the yak and stuff, and it had the little graphic, and honestly, like,
why nobody hated the Yak Track.
No, people definitely hated Yak Track, but it definitely didn't have this amount of friction.
Right. And also, also Yak Track put the cosmetics on display in Berthorpe. They didn't do that with Hero Pass.
Yeah, that was the first thing I went to check when I logged in, because I just wanted to see what I could get, because they were hyping up those rewards like crazy. And I go to Berthorpe, it's just the spots there. There's just nothing there. You have to literally open the UI, mouse through every one, click each one just to see what you get. And I don't know if that's just an oversight. I hope it's not by design, just to try to get you to go click through. I could see it being either, maybe.
It wouldn't be very efficient if it was, you wouldn't think, but...
And I just want to recap this all, because you add progression onto everything we talked about before. You add the question about progress from special missions, and you add the daily challenge stuff in, and then you have in people's mind what Yak Track was, as we detailed. You can't win with this going forward. There is no positive way out, I don't think.
No.
I think they need to be way more higher level when thinking about their monetization strategy, because right now it seems like they're just focused on the pass portion of it. It's too macro. You got to look at the bigger picture about how all these systems work into each other. All the different currencies you have.
And that's the problem with RS3, is that you need that currency rework that was supposed to happen at some point.
We need some massive consolidation. Like, I'm not saying even remove Treasure Hunter, but shit, just get rid of oddments, get rid of rune coins, make us some new consistent currency that's used for all the MTX stuff. You can purchase anything in the oddment store, whatever stores with it. You can purchase it with coins in game, I guess. I don't know how all that balances itself together, but you can't have four or five currencies like we have. It's too much.
That's it. I mean, and if you look at, also the Premier Club, I really do think they need to get back the basics. I mean, the original one we had, we got, 2,000 rune coins. We got, there was a draw to win a trip to Jagex headquarters, they had a special outfit that was designed just for those players. You got your discount in Solomon's store. Yeah, there was all those different cosmetics that they
had
throughout
Premier
the
Club.
Years.
I have 8 Premier Club tokens sitting in my bank for cosmetic overrides that I don't
use. I think I've got 12. Yeah, and I've unlocked everything in there. They give us these tokens, but then they've released nothing since. So for those of us who've had it since day one...
But maybe we have more of a strategic problem here, Tanis. That's what I'm hearing. We might have more of a strategic problem here. Questioning of what RS3 wants to be, with there being forces that are wanting to pull it in more of an old school nostalgia kind of direction. And that gives you the driving forces to respond to Hero Pass like they did. Because you do have to admit, the way they responded to Hero Pass was very old school like.
Oh, very, very much so. I'm not sure anybody ends up with, no one ends up with what they want, right? I mean, we're talking about this again because there isn't anything else going on, right? Like, we laugh, but it's true. And like, I don't know. Would that have been different otherwise? I don't know. I know they had all hands on deck, 100% focus on removing, or trying to get these challenges back in and removing buffs. And I'm sure that was no picnic. So all I know is whatever was planned for these weeks, they ain't working on that.
Well, I think it would have been game jam and patch notes, I think, after Necromancy. Fairly certain they would have went that way regardless.
the buffs, just to go back to these buffs, we had the buffs that went up each, you know, every few levels in Yak Track. I think you got level 25, you got a 3%, and by the end you got a 10% XP buff. So I don't think it's the, you know, I don't think people are complaining about the buffs so much as that they were locked behind Premier Club. I don't understand. As I said, it really, when they said they're just taking them out completely, it blew my mind. It's like, this is the main reason people are going to play those for those buffs, because it's a tangible reward. And yeah, you just removed them completely. Instead of just, it's like, yeah, what, it was, you very don't want to defeatist play my rules? I'm taking my ball and going,
yeah,
home.
It, yeah, yeah, it was very defeatist, you know? And left a bad taste in the mouth. I do have
it
to
did
say that.
And, yeah, I mean, I was not, I mean, I didn't really think about it the first time about being locked behind Premier Club, because as I said, I have it. But I, as soon as I saw, I go, shit, yeah, that's, I understand that now, why people are complaining.
Yeah.
I honestly thought when they said, we're going to fix it, my first thought was they're just going to unlock that for everyone and just leave those cosmetics. But they just removed it. It's take my ball and go home type reaction. And I think that was...
But you know what else is just so weird to me with this is that on its own in a vacuum, Hero Pass is a really well-designed system.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. On its own in a vacuum, yeah. If it was a free-to-play game and this was their path, I mean, I still don't think it fits us, but for any other game, yeah.
Yeah. So
I think without Solomon Store, Treasure Hunter, XYZ, probably other small things, it would probably be fine for RS. I mean, not perfect, but
yeah. And
it's effectively
the
consolidated system like Fortnite has. It's just that it exists with several other systems.
Yeah, and you know, I need to underscore, when we were evaluating this 2 weeks ago, that's the perspective we were going for, was that peer design angle on this. And I realized that might have been missed in the shuffle with that, but that's the way it was. And you know, we stand by that, you know, like a good system behind the scenes, but at the same time there's just so many outstanding questions with it that it's just kind of soured the entire thing. So
But let's look at it if with this type of thing, rather than let's say let's remove the Oddment store altogether. And on these hero passes, all of those cosmetics, you'll get a token. You'll get a hero pass token that you can then go in, and any of these old things, you can purchase those things with it.
They did that. They said there was going to be an option in the store that comes with hero pass to do that with future passes.
Isn't this pretty much Yak coins?
Yeah, except they persist now.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's right. And keep that going. Just like I'll do my battle pass. I've got, you know, I've unlocked everything, but you know, I've done extra. I've got, you know, I've got 30 coins left over. So next time comes round, I'm in hospital because my back needs to be operated on, so I'm not going to be able to play as much. I get halfway through, but I can still unlock things because I have those 30 coins left over that I can use to unlock things. Yeah, if it's an ongoing system where those coins are a continuation thing, I missed out on, you know, I was on holidays last year when one was on. I can earn Yak coins, use those tokens, and go back and buy a reward from that. I think if they did that type of thing, they would be far better suited. But as we, you know, and we keep going back to it, you can't have oddments, rune coins, Yak coins, you know, loyalty points. You can't have all these different types of currencies that unlock different type of things. It's got to be all one, and you have access to everything with those coins.
And I don't, you know what? I think what they could do with that, even like, don't even give people access to all this at the same time. Rotate the shop out. That's what Fortnite does. They, in their item shop, it's just V-Bucks, but they rotate it like crazy. So it gets you looking.
Yeah. Yep. Every month we swap it out. You get these ones this month and keep swapping them through. Yep. No problem at all.
Imagine if they were to bring back the green Santa hat and purple Halloween masks.
Well, now we're talking about rare, Shane. You're throwing wrenches in the
here.
I think the rares are a whole separate issue.
Yeah,
that's an entirely different system.
Fine.
Again, I have no. I've got both of those. They never said that they were discontinued rare, so I would have no issue with that type of thing.
fun.
Yeah, I'd argue that kind of stuff is like the other system we have.
But that's your Green Santa. There would be no issue with bringing that back for a Christmas battle pass or something like that, because they told us at the time these may come back in the future. So they have actually told us that they may bring those back. So if they do that through a battle pass system or something like that, fine. Obviously, you can't do your Black Santas or your Red Santas, sadly. But you know,
but because
they have been, they are they're discontinued rares, and I don't think they should. Much as I would love it, because I wasn't around at the time, I don't think they should do that, because that will hurt a large part of the community who like those as that exclusive type, never to be released again. But certainly your Green Santa, your purple Halloween, the things like that. Because I have actually said that these may be released again in the future. I have no issue with using those on a rotating basis every few years on some sort of battle pass reward. If it works in with that season, like as I said, you do a Christmas season battle pass, great. At the end of it, there's a Green Santa.
Yeah.
Exactly. Fine, you know. That type of thing, and I think that would be more palatable. But again, I don't know that they could save a Hero Pass because of the way they have reacted with what's happened.
Yeah. Okay. Final word to you, Tanis, on this.
I feel like, you know, missed opportunities. I feel like there was a lot of overreacting, and on all sides. Maybe I wish we could have. I know it sounds weird, but I almost wish we had like a couple weeks of the turmoil so that it could have been better,
more thoughtful.
Out.
Yeah.
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 I mean, you know, let that reaction be that reaction, and then see if we can get to a point of discussion.
Yeah, exactly. Because like we said, on its own, wonderful system, wonderful path for what they wanted to do with daily challenges, with the needs of the game, with the way XP was going. Whether you like that or not, it's a fact that needed to be confronted, and the way all that tied together, I still feel is a really good system design-wise. And like I said at the top of the show, I like the buffs. I'm going to miss those now that they're not there, but it is what it is. And it really reiterates the question that, well, something needed to be, I guess, done about this, because the situation was untenable, because either the situation had got too hot on social media and whatnot based on internal metrics, or they were hemorrhaging subscribers from this. One of those two reasons caused them to react in the way that they did, and we won't know which one it is, but I'm fairly certain it was one of those two, or maybe even a combination of both, that did that brought us to where we are, despite Hero Pass.
But again,
being what it is.
You wouldn't know if they were hemorrhaging subscribers,
right? Yes,
did it straight away. Yep. People were already members. You wouldn't know that. Yeah, you'd have to wait a month or so before you knew that, where people weren't renewing their fortnightly or monthly memberships because of it. So again, as I said, it really knee-jerk reaction to just what they read. And we know there are a lot of people out there who'll say, oh, I'm quitting in that, and I'm never going to move back here again, and then keep playing. We saw it on Twitter. We've seen it on this before.
Yeah, the perpetual outrage. People who like being angry.
Exactly. Yep.
So. When I started playing RuneScape, people said RuneScape was dead. There were very few YouTubers on, but there was a few. I can think of a few. What was the guy's name? What's his name? He was back from the Mod Lee days. Like, it might have been Nightmare or something like that. But
Nightmare RH.
Yeah, there you go. And I remember many videos of being, it's dead, RuneScape's dying, and I'm like, sucks. I just started playing.
Yep,
that was a decade ago.
Well, exactly. When I started playing in 2011, I got told, why are you starting this game for? It's dying. It's going to be dead. It'll be gone in a year's time. And 12 years later, we're still here playing.
still here.
Okay,
RuneScape will always be dying.
So let's look at Fortnite here, because we've been bouncing back and forth a bit between Fortnite and World of Tanks. So here's the general overview of how Fortnite does its pass. So, and from what I can see, it's a lot simpler than Hero Pass, which is interesting. What are we looking at, Zan, for primary means of progression through this? Like, what is the equivalent of Hero Passes, dailies, weeklies, and special missions?
So beneath that, you just get progress for playing the game. Your level you have in Fortnite resets every season, and the XP you gain for that correspond, and the level you have corresponds to the levels of the battle pass. And that determines what you can unlock.
That's it.
Each time you level up, you gain stars. And you use those stars to purchase the items, and they're balanced such that you have the amount to purchase the whole pass by the end of it. And then, yes, there are things like daily, weekly, special, and a bunch of other challenges that do give you extra XP. A lot of those do give other rewards, though, such as unique skins that you can't get from the pass. So there are different motivations to go for that and also still make progress. And then there's also sometimes there's just miscellaneous pickups and small little events within the actual map itself that you can do to gain some progress.
And the weird thing about this is that I think this was one of the first battle passes that came out. And it's also, from what we can see here, really full of items and unlocks and pieces of interaction that you get in game. Because you were saying that you get something at every level, basically, right?
Yeah, and you also have a decent degree of agency to pick what you get. So each battle pass is divided up into 10 pages of 10 slots each. And within each one of those, you unlock them 5 at a time, and you can unlock those 5 in any order you want. So you're not restricted to just one by one by one getting the rewards in the order that they wanted you to. And to get to the next page, I don't even think you need to unlock everything on each page. So you can kind of get to the end and kind of get some of the rewards you want a little bit faster if you want. And then kind of go back and tick off the ones you missed later on. So you have a solid bit of agency there that I just don't think RS really provides at all.
Yeah, and it's primarily focused on cosmetics, right?
Yeah, it's entirely cosmetic. Things from character skins, weapon skins, animations, sprays, and then even things like UI backgrounds, and then, you know, music tracks for the main menu and all the other menu areas that have music. They're all purely cosmetic. I mean, there are people out there that actually think if you have a skin on,
oh, that would like change your hitbox better, or something, right?
But that's just absolutely nonsense. No, you have the same hitbox and everything. It's designed so it's completely neutral.
And so there are no gameplay buffs across the entirety of the pass then.
That's correct. And that point you mentioned about the hitboxes, it can be jarring sometimes because they do have that balance that way. That every character has has the same hitbox, even though they have different silhouettes.
Yeah, and I mean when you look at what you can dress up as, and you sent me some gameplay footage of this, it feels as though it's almost breaking the fourth wall. And this is what Fortnite makes their money on, believe it or not. We've all heard the stories of, you know, like the 12-year-old who at one point was playing on mobile and, you know, racked up however much in terms of the V-Bucks purchases to, you know, buy things off this Battle Pass store. It prints money for the company who makes the game. And it is jarring if you've never looked at it before, but it works for them. And that was why we discussed earlier, you know, would this work for Jagex on a same sort of manner by that? And I feel like we'd need to, you know, do some work with the systems we have in game, but there's no reason, you know, why cosmetic monetization I don't think could be a thing. Or what was our final verdict on that anyways, just as a quick recap? Where did we land on that?
On what?
Cosmetic monetizations and, you know, just cosmetics that are out there that are extravagant in RS. Or did
I'm
we...
sorry, I don't think I followed.
Oh, okay.
Well, we came down that it either needs to have a rework of the character model, or they have to lean into the
animations, right?
Yeah, that they're good.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was misunderstanding the question.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's the thing about Fortnite. The cosmetics are awesome. Like, every single one of them, like, the characters have so much personality to them. Wildly different animations from each other, and you can tell the man hours they're putting into that are probably way more than what Jagex is putting into theirs. I just, every time you get a new skin, it feels kind of impactful because it completely changes the appearance of your character's gameplay. Like, completely. It's not like with RS where, oh, put a new outfit on, my character's still moving, doing everything the same way. No, it's a completely different character with wickedly different characteristics. And even things like the animations, you can tell they put a ton of time and effort into planning them out and then executing them.
And then the question with this is that, you know, is there a premium track to this? Which I imagine there is, because the game's just free to play.
Yeah, that's correct. It's pretty cheap though. It's 950 V-Bucks. I don't know how much that works out to USD, but I think when I purchased it, it was like the $10 one you had to buy. But the cool thing about it is you earn V-Bucks through doing the pass. And if you don't actually spend those in the shop on other things and you just want to do the next pass, well, you'll get more than enough to do the next pass.
And
so you can just buy it once and keep going for free. Or honestly, if you even want to, you get 300 per free pass that you complete. So if you even wanted to just like grind through a couple passes over the course of like maybe a couple months or something like that, or whatever the duration is, I honestly don't remember. It's been a while since I've grinded it, but you can effectively start it for free if you're willing to put in that little effort over time.
And see, that's the thing. You get to level 99 in Hero Pass, you just get a boost on the next one. It's not even, you know, the premium track.
I'm actually just reading here, 1,500 V-Bucks back. So you purchase a pack for 950, and if you play through all the content, you get 1,500 V-Bucks. So yeah, you're actually earning more than you've spent.
Enough, and you can buy an emote.
Yep.
And see, this is just why we had that discussion to begin with, in that Jagex is trying to do this battle pass. But you look at Fortnite, and that's how you do a battle pass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, what about skipping? Because I know that was a huge discussion when we were looking at Hero Pass when it arrived, that it would cost, you know, 24 bonds or about $190 to purchase it outright.
For Fortnite to completely purchase the pass, it is about 120 USD. 150 V-Bucks per tier. And also, I guess you have to buy the pass too, so another 10 bucks-ish.
That is remarkably cheaper than RS for that. Wow.
Yeah. And RS has 7 other ways for you to spend money.
and that underscores what the problem was and what people, you know, felt as one of the issues in terms of Hero Pass trying to nickel and dime and whatnot. So
doesn't feel like you get much value from it.
Right. And see, that's what we said. Add more value. And that's where you get to the whole discussion about monetization. And, you know, I was, like I said, looking at this in a vacuum. I was looking at Hero Pass in a vacuum, and on its own in a vacuum, it's a good system. It is good value on its own. But when you start looking at it in relation to everything else, you see that, well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. Would you recommend somebody pick up Fortnite if they, you know, just wanted to see what this Battle Pass system would look like? Because, you know, obviously a free-to-play game, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously,
you have Fortnite's to like shooters and battle royale, right?
I mean, I'm not saying Fortnite's for everyone. It's definitely got a certain appeal that probably turns a lot of people off. I just think it's stupid fun. It's stupid fun with your friends, just going nuts and looking like this ridiculous character with all these ridiculous emotes and doing the gritty next to your friends and everything. It's just,
fun. Right. And I can see that, you know, compared to Apex, which is a little bit more grounded in typical shooter mechanics and whatnot, whereas this is just, you know, designed more to be fun and immersion breaking, let's just say.
It can still get deep. You can still get really deep into the gameplay nuances. And, you know, there's a ranked mode. It gets people get very competitive with it. Yeah. I mean, it's got that side of it too.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. So, and that's one monetization scheme. The next one we're going to look at is World of Tanks. And this is a game that I've been playing on and off since 2012. Interesting story behind World of Tanks, just background-wise for people who are unaware. It was originally developed by Wargaming, a company headquartered in Cyprus, with their main development studio in Belarus. Yeah, Belarus, Minsk. And as you can imagine, the war in Ukraine threw a bit of a wrench in that. So in the last year and a half or so, World of Tanks and the development of their other game, World of Warships, was effectively moved out of the Minsk studio, and Wargaming effectively divested out of Russia and Belarus, and now World of Tanks is developed out of Wargaming Europe, which is a different entity on its own. And because of that, we've seen a number of improvements over the last year and a half in the game that have just, in effect, leveled up the game in terms of how it plays and how it progresses through things. And one of those, of course, is the Battle Pass, because when we look at Battle Passes, we've looked at Hero Pass and now the Fortnite Battle Pass, but there's one in World of Tanks that runs as well. And the way this one works is there's three specific tracks that you can go down. Each one unlocks what's called a progressive style on three different vehicles that you might have in your garage. And when you unlock those styles, you level up throughout the Battle Pass. The style, in effect, on your vehicle changes, and it gets more complex as you progress through the pass. And with this, it's same thing kind of like Hero Pass. You need 50 progress points to advance for each level. There's 100 levels in total. Daily missions award a sizable chunk of the pass progress, which, of course, is something that I talked about earlier in the show. But just as a recap, the idea behind this is that you might get something as simple as, you know, damage 5 enemies, do 2,000 damage in a battle, come in, you know, top 5, top 7, top 10, something like that, or get X amount of critical hits. Those are just some of the basic ones. And for doing that, you get a certain amount of experience in your battle pass as you progress through it. And it's really, really as simple as that when it comes to doing this. And, you know, there's other ways as well. Like you get a little bit of XP for your battle pass every time you finish in either the top 10 or top 5, win or loss, in any of the battles. Each battle is maximum 15 minutes long. And when we look at this, when we look at the World of Tanks Battle Pass, just like the Fortnite one, there's a few things that are, in effect, I could say, boosting a bit, but there's nothing that is going to be game-breaking pay-to-win in these Battle Passes, and the vast majority of what you get is cosmetic, and it helps you progress through the rest of your gameplay. Also, of course, there's a premium Battle Pass. It costs $12 for each track. You can buy all three of them for $29 thereabouts. And with that, if you want to skip through any of the potential areas in the Battle Pass, you can skip through each of those for 250 in-game gold, valued at about $1.50. So in total, when you math everything out to complete all the tracks on this pass, it amounts to about $190, and that's of course the same amount as Hero Pass, interestingly enough. And like we said, it doesn't have those boosts. And the main difference, and something I actually wanted to hone in on with this, is that we mentioned all the ways you can be asked to, you know, pay for RuneScape, right? Well, World of Tanks is a free-to-play game primarily. There's a premium subscription if you want, and what that does is it just gives you more credits and more experience per battle. but the main way World of Tanks monetizes, and this will be absolutely eye-watering to people who have not experienced the game before. But there are vehicles out there that do come with significant amounts of power creep, in some cases, that cost upwards of $60 to $70 per vehicle, and you get them permanently. And that's how World of Tanks makes its money.
And that's real pay to win, children. That's what it really looks like.
It is. It is. Like, there, for once upon a time, they added this Russian tank called the Defender, and it basically had armor that could not be penetrated by its same tier. You had to be a higher tier to go through it effectively. And that's the kind of pay to win that Wargaming does, and that's how they monetize their game. And the Battle Pass is cosmetic. And if we're looking for analogies in terms of monetization that's closest to RS, I'd actually say that Wargaming's Battle Pass and model is perhaps closer to Jagex's than Fortnite is, based on what we have here, I think. Just throwing that out there and venturing a guess at that. In terms of, you know, just what's available and what is used for other forms of monetization that are out there. And this was something that was actually really striking to me in comparing all this. And we struggled to find this. You know, the question we were asking when we were putting this episode together, is there a game out there that has a premium subscription model and a battle pass that's absolutely required to play? World of Tanks has a premium subscription, but you don't need it to play the game. We're fairly certain that RuneScape is one of the only games out there that has a premium subscription model that in effect almost requires you to play the game, or requires you to have it to play the game effectively, plus the battle pass, plus Treasure Hunter. And we were trying to find that, if there's any battle pass game out there, and I don't think there is.
Yeah, I just...
And that puts this entire discussion in a whole different light.
Yeah, that makes me realize, like, kind of the fact that you have to basically have to be a member to do all this battle pass stuff with RS is kind of like shooting itself in the foot in and of itself. Because the thing about, like, free-to-play games, they're free-to-play. You just play the game.
That's Fortnite.
And that's where YakTrak had the advantage as well, because there was a free-to-play pass and there was a pay-to-play pass.
But you even have to be a member to have any kind of, you know, real way to progress through the game.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's almost like there's several layers that you have to purchase to even be able to be into it. Like,
right, and for me, that's where I saw the problem that the community was talking
it's
about.
It's a barrier to entry that just... is it worth it? Like...
Is it time to make RuneScape fully free-to-play with a premier club that offers everything and then have your battle passes with your purchase?
And that's the question we need to ask.
And have you,
and
your quest,
that's something that has been in my mind. Could RuneScape ditch Treasure Hunter, ditch all these other forms of monetization, and go the ESO route and charge, like a one-time fee or the however much ESO Plus is? For the extras.
That's right. And all your quests are locked behind the Premier.
Oh, side. God. Oh, God. That would...
Yeah.
That would See, be... That would be the
As you know,
rail.
It's all free-to-play, but if you want to do... Yeah, it still has free-to-play quests, but your major quests are then part of the Premium package.
As in, you would need to pay for the next expansion.
Yeah.
Well, you just have your membership, which gives you all your battle passes and all your quests, and then there's the basic quests, but you can still level up in all your skills.
You and I have played ESO. Mm-hmm. How is it that if you take ESO as model and apply it to RS, the players would be rioting? Yeah, that seems like such a better model. A one-time purchase.
But that could be said about a lot of things that we...
How long will that be a one-time purchase for, though?
Forever.
Realistically.
Well, and then if you're still playing the next year, then you buy the next expansion, right?
Yeah.
But are they going to stick to that?
ESO?
No.
You mean Jagex? Would they come out with an expansion every year? Yeah.
I just don't think they would.
No. No, so because it's the revolving door of visions.
I'm thinking, I don't know how this would work to maintain or push more money than it is now, but the thing that seems to make sense in my mind, if theoretically RuneScape was just free to play, you didn't have to pay membership to actually play all the content that the game has to offer, you know, not including like Yak Track and stuff.
What would Treasure Hunter Yak Track look like?
You get half the XP.
I just feel like just making the game and the pass that more accessible would sell it a shit ton more. Because you're reducing that barrier to entry.
Yeah, you got more people playing. I mean,
the cosmetics and whatnot good enough that they could?
I don't know. But you missed the boat. Like, they missed the boat on this. Disc Shift would have been proper with the release of mobile, full release of mobile. That's when you would have put this into place, right? It would have.
Yeah.
We missed it.
And I think those newer players that would be coming in almost constantly, because that would be kind of almost more of a target for these cosmetics than the existing players. We're so jaded about this game that we just don't give a shit about other cosmetics anymore. I don't even know. There's a lot going through my brain right now.
I agree.
Free to play. You have the XP that we gain as a member. It's free to play all the way up to, say, level 99. Or even if you're just 200 mils, you can keep going. But you know, you have your battle passes, you have your double XP weekends, you have all those extras in the membership package or purchasable for the free to play. Would that make them as much or more money than they are now?
I just don't think gating off certain bits of content like that to certain tiers is going to work with ours. I think it has to be binary. It has to be membership unlocks everything or just make it all free.
Yeah,
exactly right. That's the issue.
I think gating any part of that sends the complete message that the community just does not want.
And you also have to realize that XP is valued in the eyes of players perhaps too much. When it comes to the golden goose that is, you know, Treasure Hunter for RS3, you know, you run the Phoenix Lamps, you run the Smoldering Lamps. I have a feeling those are the cash cows for that. And that's the thing, and that they've talked about before, is that you can't just turn those off.
Mm. Exactly right. So,
and you turn the rest of the game free and turn them up for all I care at that point.
But would people be okay with that? Like, I feel like that's something that...
If it means they can consolidate MTX and get rid of Treasure Hunter and put way more cosmetics into a track, I think so.
I think you have too much.
You got to keep Treasure Hunter.
I mean, I'm not saying I have hope that this would happen. We're hypothetical here.
You're talking about, you know, maybe the 20% who are reasonable people.
Yeah, these are hypotheticals.
Yeah, we need to remind everybody that everything here is hypothetical, and this discussion comes from seeing what is possible with Fortnite. What is possible with World of Tanks, and how the latest incarnation for a battle pass in RS was incredibly well designed, but still, as a result, just wasn't really received very well by the player base for the reasons of execution. So, it's a mess. There's no recovering it.
Yeah. I think Epic has the big advantage of their just scale. Too.
Yeah.
And with that comes the sense of permanence, where they're not gonna change major parts of their battle pass system. Just deal with it. Whereas Jagex totally is willing to. Like, I hate to say it, but I think Jagex honestly is a bit too willing to kind of just instantly reverse course. Like, not even course correct, but reverse course.
I could say something really bad right now, but I'm not going to.
Probably already say it's pretty bad.
Yeah, they see a dolphin fin in the water and jump out screaming shark and never go back again.
Any last words before we move on to the patch notes?
No, just when you were saying before about the kid who spent a couple of hundred dollars on that game reminded me of a girl I used to work with. She brought her son in one day to work because she didn't have a babysitter, set him up on her phone with playing the Smurf game. He spent $1,400 on Smurf berries because she didn't turn it off and he was just clicking buy, buy, buy. So he spent $1,400. She contacted the company and they reversed it all for her in the end. But yeah, just you just reminded me of that when you were telling me about that.
It'll be all done. I ain't got $1,400.
Well, as a single mum, yeah, she didn't. Yeah, it was. He basically maxed out her credit card.
Oh,
on her.
Right. You told me the story that she was able to actually get the charges reversed.
She was. Yeah. She basically, the only reason she found out, she went to buy groceries that night and her card got declined. And she said, hang on. And she's had a look and realized what he's done.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
Yes. So yeah. that was an amusing thing.
Well, that will only happen on a smoldering lamp promotion here.
And you can spend up to $4,000 here, I think. Yeah,
I hope that we have provided everybody with a bit of context in terms of where we've been, where we stand, and what it looks like in other games. And that, you know, Hero Pass, well designed, number of execution problems along the way. I'm going to miss the buffs. Closing thoughts to any of you guys on this now.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, we're kind of going in on this, but it's very clear that when they were reevaluating the Battle Pass system with Yak Track, that they had good intentions. And I just wanted to say that because it seems like I've said some pretty harsh things about this pass during this discussion, but it really does seem like they had the best intention at heart when making this. Like each individual developer making the individual designs for it. It's just, I don't think they implemented it well and didn't see their peripheral vision enough to understand the full context of how that works into RS.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. No, totally agree. And again, I still think it is a decent system if they, and maybe some of those special missions and things were going to come out and they just decided to hold them all back because of what happened. Other than the lack of missions and the removal of those buffs, yeah, I think they did have a system that could have worked well. They just made a couple of little key errors, as in locking behind Premier, you know, and the way it was sort of told to us that, you know, again, I'll put this back to the same when they had that that competition thing where, you know, you had to kill zombies and all that type of thing, and then they changed the very final, which killed it. You know, it's just a
same thing with changing the fresh start conditions as well.
Yep.
Exactly. Great ideas. Just that implementation and knee-jerk reactions sometimes that have hurt them. And we see that, yeah, they don't make the same mistake twice, but they make a mistake pretty much on these things at the beginning, which hurts them long-term each time. And it's a sad thing because it could have been a good system.
Yeah.
And I hope they learn from it. I hope they don't just totally reverse it, but I hope they just rework it, bring back Yak Track for a little while, and then yeah, maybe in a year or so, try again and without the mistakes they made this time.
Yeah. Tanis?
Yeah, you know, I think we've outlined and we outlined the problems before. You know, we've outlined the issues with it again. I think the way it was presented sounded like it was going to address the shortcomings of Yak Track, and the reality didn't pan out that way. I think for the most part, it was an okay system, but it definitely does not fit it doesn't fit this game. And unfortunately, that dolphin Parnassius is talking about is really more like an orca that has just knocked the rudder off of the damn ship. And we're kind of setting adrift in the Strait of Gibraltar going, shit. Anybody got a tow? Rope?
Well, it's not entirely rudderless because there was a change to Treasure Hunter this week with the Vault of Riches promotion. There's now
kudos to them for what they've done.
There's now guaranteed drops at a certain amount of keys, and it tells you what you can expect about when you're going to get the ultra rare, and you will now get that ultra rare in at most 300 keys.
So oh, wow.
They put a guarantee on that now.
That's really cool.
Yes, that's what I said. We've got to give them kudos for that one.
Yeah,
that's
great
way to do it.
Goddamn, two steps forward, one step back, or vice versa this time. But hey, progress. That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Imagine if Soul Die would have gone out with a promo like this.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, the Clue people would have been really super pissed, but that would have been cool for everyone else.
Or Green Santa Hat or Purple Halloween.
Let's not talk about that die for someone who handed in 260,000 wills and got nothing compared to someone who, how many did you hand in? 10,000 and got it?
13,000.
13,000.
13.
Yeah. 260,000 to 13,000.
You have met Shane before, right?
Yeah, that's what I said. Okay. I want that shoehorn stuck up his ass.
just drag him with you next time you go to a casino.
Just wait till you hear just wait till you hear what I got this week on RS.
Oh, I haven't even heard this yet. Oh boy.
Yeah. Anyways,
I think I know what he's talking about, but I won't spoil it.
Patch notes. Patch notes are mostly unremarkable this week. Cleaned up and reorganized a number of damage buffs to work in a more consistent manner. They say this will have changed the order of operations and the number of buffs and will likely act as a slight buff for magic melee and ranged, as the majority of buffs have been grouped after potion stat boosts. They also reworked a number of buffs that previously only affected random damage to affect all damage. So with this, previous effects like the Slayer Helmet claimed to boost damage by 12.5%, but due to how this actually was applied, it boosted it anywhere from 1 to 12%. Yeah, your Slayer helmet wasn't giving you the 12.5% you thought it was. So they reworked this. The Slayer helmet now is rebalanced from the 12.5% random damage to 7.5% at the lowest tier and 9.5% at the highest tier. The Genocidal perk has been rebalanced from 7% random damage to 5% total damage when fully stacked. The Fort 4 and 3 Guardhouse buff values remain the same, but changed from random to total damage. The Revenge perk rebalanced from 10% random damage to 5% damage per total stack. And Spendthrift values remain the same, but random damage changed to total damage. Also, sitting on benches now triggers rest, and sitting on the stools in the City of now triggers rest as well. They also added a necromancy settings option in the gameplay settings, which ensures that the highest tier communion item is automatically placed on the pedestal from the focus storage, rather than continuing to use the already selected item. And going way, way, way back, honing in on some legacy fixes, fixed an issue with the Aggaroth boss fight, where in some cases the player could be killed by a tentacle attack in phase 1 after defeating all the tentacles, and in phase 2 after defeating the main boss. This has been corrected.
It's ghost come out and just venged on you.
Yeah, just some random tentacle coming up from the ground and blapping you.
I didn't know Aggaroth could make invisibility potions.
Also fixed an issue where the Aggaroth tentacle attack rate was not being set correctly in the boss's second phase, and with this, the tentacles now attacked more frequently in phase 2. Also, there was an issue after the most recent graphical pass around the River Lum and the wheat farm, where you couldn't take the shorter path between the River Lum and the wheat farm. So that's been fixed. That's been outstanding for a while. And that's it for patch notes here. As I said, not too much remarkable this week in the patch notes, but a few interesting ones nonetheless. Alrighty, let's go through some achievements. Let's get to our usual happy space. Tanis, start us off.
Alright. Starting on September 20th, we have Gil of Fleur with 99 necromancy. Then we have Jaguar 007 with 99 necromancy, also on the 20th. And Lotzi with 120 farming, also on the 20th.
We have Bartnells with 99 runecrafting on the 18th. Data 479 with 99 necromancy on the 18th as well. And on the 17th, we have Pernasius with 120 necromancy.
Nice. Then we have on the 16th, we have Bartnells with 99 archaeology, Lord Dusty with 99 necromancy, and Cena ATN with 99 construction.
And bringing it home, Bartnells again has 99 dungeoneering on September 15th. Mr. M with 120 invention on September 15th. Joining me with 120 necromancy on September 15th is Sangri Sani. And finally, Shadow Lead, also 99 necromancy on September 14th.
Nicely done, everybody. Nicely done. All right. Zan, you have a pick of the week for us. This one is venturing into nerdy territory, but I think it's more utility at this point still, right?
Yeah, definitely utility for me. I'm not too deep into it. But I'm someone who really likes Notion. It's a system I've used for my notes and just documenting information for my life. Just I've been using it for a couple of years, a little on and off. I've experienced some friction with it, and over the years, I've kind of wanted a new system, so I found this thing called AnyType, and it's effectively a Notion alternative that is kind of more privacy, local first centric. And I actually kind of think I just like their platform a bit more, and the way that their UI is set up, and the way how everything is kind of just disconnected from each other if you want it to be, but still have the ability to deeply link things like you do in Notion. But effectively, it's what you'd expect from an application like Notion, where you can make a bunch of different type of documents, databases, notes, recipe books, travel planners, you name it, by defining a bunch of different types of types and sets and these other objects that Notion allows you to kind of integrate with each other. The specifics of how this all works, it gets kind of hard to explain.
Yeah, it can be kind of complicated. Like, I think the best way to explain it would be a note-taking app on steroids where you're able to define your own taxonomy.
Exactly. And if you've heard of one called Obsidian, I know it's very popular with a lot of the more the technical programmer type people. Has some similarities to that as well, especially with their graph system. It shows you all your objects in like this 2D space kind of linked to each other. And you can see how all your information is all connected. But I think the really cool thing about AnyType over things like Notion is that Notion stores all of your data on their own servers, whereas AnyType is local to your own PC. And they actually don't even allow you to store that on their own servers, but they do have sort of a peer-to-peer sync system that allows you to transfer that between devices. But you can also self-host that and kind of just handle that yourself. And kind of the point of it. Which
yeah, there's lots of people.
Like.
Lots of people I know who would, you know, jump at the opportunity of doing that. Don't still, you know, in the year 2023, don't like cloud services because of that very reason that it's hosted elsewhere. And just the idea of, you know, having the option of doing it yourself is pretty neat. So. I had not heard of this before you mentioned it. And is there any cost to it to get like a service backend kind of like you would have with Plex, or is it just 100% free?
As far as I know, it's 100% free. I haven't delved into the actual self-hosting option yet. I just use the sync that they provide. But they are still early access. They're on like 0.35 right. or something like that right now.
Yeah, but let's be real. That doesn't mean anything anymore in this day and age.
So what I'm saying is in the future, that could totally change. But yeah, they're still very early on in development of their app, but it's very, very nice, very functional. And I think it's a great time to kind of get into it because it's still in this kind of malleable phase where they're very open to community feedback. And yeah, they really want to know how people are using it.
Like, I'm just looking at the roadmap right now. They mentioned you could use it for a daily journal, strategic writing, a knowledge base, a trip planner, a study hub, a recipe book, a habit tracker, and a data vault. By 2024, they want you to be able to use it as a team wiki, have shareable documents, set up a press kit, a startup data room, curated list, and a personal portfolio. And by this time next year, they want a community hub, public blog, shared graphs, and collaborative projects. So you can kind of see where they're going with that. And it's all interesting that it's end-to-end private encryption between just you and your devices, which is something we're not seeing a lot of in this day and age. So that's pretty neat. Full link can be found in the show notes at update.show. Tanis, what have you been up to in RS?
Not a lot. I've actually been playing a little bit of HDOS.
Oh,
yeah. You could hear a pin drop with that.
Honestly, I feel you, Tanis. It's kind of tempting.
Yeah.
Were you able to get the plugins needed to get going, like with the mouse overlays and the UI scaling and all that?
Mostly. I do not have the voiced dialogue yet, though.
Oh, right. The text-to-speech, yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah, I messaged you about that because I've been dabbling in HDOS, too, for my old-school questing adventures, and I noticed that, oh, there's a text-to-speech plugin for this. I got to tell Tanis about that.
Yeah, and I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all. And I actually find the combat quite enjoyable.
Well, yeah, you were using Legacy with blood spells in the Wend book, so I mean, that's kind of close to that.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that really has been about what I've been up to.
Okay. All around Iron Man standard account. What are you doing? Skiller?
Oh, standard, but you know me. I play as much like an Iron Man as I can until, you know, I need something. And I don't know anybody else over there, so like I ain't got a dime.
Right.
So we're Iron Man-ing all the way for right now.
Herb farming's your best moneymaker, my friend.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you, Parnassius?
Oh, well, basically finished the 120 grind on Necromancy, so I've gone back to my hunt for 200 million all, currently doing wood cutting. Basically what I want to do is take every skill to 150 mil. And then sort of work on from there. So, yeah, not a lot other than, yeah, just the rituals and woodcutting last couple of weeks.
All right. Zant, anything you want to report on?
I have not been playing RS, like, at all. And a decent metric of it is that I was going for 120 divination last double XP. I got to 119, and I still haven't gotten it.
I've
been playing... Oh, go for it.
No, I was going to say, based on the numbers, we should be getting another double XP next month or thereabouts, so finish it then.
I was afraid that that was going to happen before I got it. I've also been playing Starfield.
Oh!
That's a good excuse for a lot of people as to where they've been with RS, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like, I know there's a lot of discourse about it online, but I think for a base Bethesda game, it's pretty good. I can't wait to see where it goes with mods and stuff.
Alrighty. Well, as for me, I'm closing in on 110. Necromancy, almost said divination there, but 110 Necromancy closing in on that. Should have that by the time the show is published. But in addition to that, I have been trying to do about a daily hour of Raziel or so. I've refined it down to the point where I can pretty much go the entire hour now without dying, which is good. We're looking at about 2-minute kill time, so just kind of refining the rotation experimenting with things as we go, because the rotation actually changes quite a bit, and the way to do it changes quite a bit if you have the tier 95 weapons as well with that. I don't have those yet, but I've been working on that. Haven't got any major drops there doing that. But the other night when I was doing rituals, I got the necromancy pet at 37.4 million XP.
Oh, yes. Okay, ooh, yes. Scrats.
And that, I was actually online for that one, so well
done. That was the piece of RNG I mentioned.
Okay.
But we ran the numbers on that, and it's actually a little bit later than expected in terms of value on that, in terms of where it landed. So it wasn't an absolute spoon like some of them have been, but it was getting to be just a bit past the expected.
Actually, I think I was 110 when I got the pet.
Yeah,
as well.
So it's about 109, 110 where I got it. So that's probably where the majority of people get it or so, based on that. But I also do have to report that at this point in time, in addition to your regular herb runs for money making, the grapes are really good money these days, still right now. The Guthix ones and Ceridoman ones especially. So just do with what information that you will.
Noted.
Indeed. But that pretty much brings us to the end of this episode of RSBNB Update. Big, big, huge thank you, of course, to Parnassius and Zant for being here. Parnassius providing his updated thoughts on Hero Pass and his unique issues he has with it. And, of course, Zant for the interesting look into how Fortnite does it compared to RS.
Thank you for putting up for me once again.
I wonder, and you know, listeners, do let us know if you wind up trying Fortnite or World of Tanks after we talked about those. I feel like Fortnite's probably the easier one to get into, but let us know if you wind up trying any of those or if you have in the past. That's a interesting thing to talk about. And of course, you can reach out to us in our Discord at rsbnb.com/discord. But we're also on YouTube, where we post the video versions of the show at youtube.com/rsbnb. Each and every week there. And, you know, we have a couple of shorts we've been experimenting with. We have a wonderful one about Tannis's motorboating last week, amongst other things. I made that into a short.
Yeah.
But
actually, I also do, if anyone is out there, if I have moved up a level as the favorite Australian commentator yet, whether I've moved from the number two spot to the number one, being the only Aussie and being number two Aussie, it did hurt a bit. So we'll see if I moved up yet.
And of course, if you want the podcast delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe on your favorite podcast listener: Apple, Google, Pocket Cast, Spotify, all of them. Just visit update.show/subscribe. And with that, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See ya.
Happy Skype and all.
Later.